If I were to tell you, sir, that there are some people who for whom crop over is a living, where it's not a little money for the time being, but it's all the money they make all year, would you be inclined to agree with that?
No.
Yeah, but I'm saying that that's a fact, sir. There are some people for whom crop over is a business, and they earn their living based on crop over.
I agree. Yes.
I can think of an individual in question who arranges events and for whom essentially the money to run school fees, pay to school clothes, all of the things that are done in terms of maintaining his family, it is about crop over.
But not
I think it is difficult for me to say to a person like that, right? I'm a political consultant. My earning capacity has not been interrupted by COVID, but I think that you should not earn a living for the better part of a year and that you should suffer in silence. Sir, what you have to understand at these times is that Barbados is a complex place and we're all different people. And there are some people who make a living doing different types of things. There are people who work as beach operators. There are people who drive taxis. There are people who work in entertainment. There are people who work as belly dancers and entertainers in the hotels and whatnot. And all of those people have not earned a living for the better part of a year. So I understand and I feel their pain when they say, you know, I would really like crop over so that I can earn a living again.
Oh, what are you telling me? We don't need it. No, not no, Peter.
Sir, no. We understand. I understand where you're coming from, but just understand also that for them, it is a question of no, simply because for them it is a question of their financial existence.
And further analysis, you would welcome it. You personally know would welcome it.
I like crop over. I like crop over. I mean, no, for no, me, Peter, it's man. Entertainment and enjoyment. But the point I'm making is that it is bigger than just an entertainment event for a lot of people. For a lot of people, they're looking at a living.
What do you say
to a person, okay, who makes their living in the tourist industry, who has not earned anything since January last year? It is now March, a year later. So you're looking at 12 months plus two.
This is 12 months. This month is a whole year that I didn't work, Peter.
Well, but this you obviously have a source of income. You have a source of income from somewhere else.
The last time I worked was the 12th of March last year. That was the last time I worked.
But you obviously have an income from somewhere else, right?
A little something. Nothing too big.
Right. And I'm saying that there are a lot of people who don't even have the luxury of what you have, that they don't have anything else.
Sir, all I'm saying is
I understand your concerns because you believe that crop over is bringing in a set of people to spread disease. And I'm saying just be careful. Because a lot of people see crop over as a lifeline for them to be able to feed their families.
It bring in death.
Okay?
That's what
I'm saying. All right, sir. Fair enough. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling.
Tell that man, leave me. I'm already alone. You're wasting me time.
All right, no problem. All right, sir. We take a break and come right back. Welcome back to Dr. Brass Stacks. Let me just read this email message which I've received from a lady who is saying, "Good afternoon, Peter. I hope the email finds you well. As mentioned in the WhatsApp message, I want you to read this letter. Firstly, I want to say thanks to the government of Barbados for taking an initiative and providing the resources for citizens in need. Thank you to the Barbados Defense Force for their distribution efforts, especially the gentleman I encountered in Hoyts Village, St. James, on Friday, the 26th of February, 2021. Secondly, with elderly persons in so many households across Barbados, these packages should have included some fresh fruits and vegetables in lieu of some of the numerous tin goods. Finally, and the reason I'm forced to write this letter is in reference to the deportment of a particular female personnel delivering these packages. Her interaction with me left much to be desired and left me in belief. This individual was flanked among numerous men who were polite, courteous, and respectful. However, she chose to exhibit the kind of behavior that was unbecoming of a woman, especially a woman wearing the uniform of the state. The account began when I stopped one of the two vehicles on my street. The individual asked me where was my mask. I said I had forgotten it, went back inside to retrieve it, after which I had a conversation with the gentleman on the truck. After I indicated the number of occupants in my household, in addition to a household being overlooked, they advised me to speak to the lady who was driving the truck behind them. When I informed this lady of the aforementioned, she immediately took a pugnacious tone and was contentious from then onward. She spewed more aggression at the gentleman who came for the package, shouting at him about forgetting his mask. However, her face is covered with a scarf and nothing else. And she then berated me for not wearing a scarf and not wearing a mask, sorry, literally threw her hands in the air, dismissing me, and drove off. Is this how we treat our fellow citizens? Is this female what we are sending out for our streets to aid persons in need? Someone who does not care and needs a lesson in decorum. God only knows how many other people she's disgusted with an awful attitude. I served the people of my country as a volunteer on Seek and Save, the survey initiative in St. James, and one of the strong belief that service and respect is important, whether offering to a prince or a pauper. This is a female in uniform. She should not be on our streets and should not be representing the Barbados Defense Force. And this is signed, disappointed care package recipient. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, afternoon, Miss P. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you? First of all, I'd like to thank you and the Defense Force. It got through. I think I left a message. I did leave a message.
Yes,
on your,
you sent me
a
message.
You read your messages. Yeah. Hello?
I haven't been reading them as frequently as I should. So I'm sorry, but I do recall that you did say that you got through, and I was happy that you got through. There was another person who had called on the program, and they got theirs as well, and they also left a message saying that they were happy. So that's great news.
Well, the lady was very happy because, like I said, her and her son were in desperate need, but there's still others. There's others, and I have a feeling they're going to come back to that area. But like I said before, they need to tell the people what day they will be in certain areas. They don't have to come out and meet the truck. They were told to stand by their doors. Do not accost the Defense Force. Just do what they need to do. Stay there and wait for them to bring the packages to them. I don't know why we're so hard ears. Now, Peter, you know, I am happy that it was just the people that David Ellis had worked with that came on Friday. Because we have some really vicious and nasty callers. And the show flowed very well. Of course, my Dennis Johnson was in command, so I didn't expect any less. I'm going to miss my David, but I know he's going to be on VOB from time to time. I know we're not going to just lose him completely, but I really would like one Sunday for you, David Ellis, Dennis Johnson, and Mr. Tony Marshall to do a show. Anything else? You guys. And we can even put in there Joanne Hay, because I really, really appreciate her when she comes on. I hope she's on Thursday. I have a lot to discuss with her. Anyways, David Ellis, I sent you all your greetings. I love you. I'll always love you. You were there for me, you and Dennis Johnson, when I really needed you one night. You spent the whole night with me, both of you, and I really appreciated that. I will never forget it. Anyway, you want to know what it was, eh?
Me? I ain't getting that at all. I stay far from that one. That's between you and the two of them. Once I hear nighttime, I know not to ask my questions.
Right? Oh, no, you can ask me questions. I don't have to answer them, you know?
True.
I'm undecided. I could tell you to mind your own business. But that's what I love about Miss Undecided. She speaks her mind. You can't take away from the lady, you know?
I love this. I love Miss Undecided.
And I love her style. It's different from mine. It's different from most of the females that come on. That's what makes her so unique. Number two, Peter, I miss you in the neighborhood. I really do. Because most of my friends are on the upper streets, going up towards Eden Lodge. Most of the people, but you were really, you and my family are the closest people around me, and I really miss you now that you're gone.
I appreciate that, and I promise I'll be back home soon. My hope is that I can get back home, certainly in April. That would be my intention, assuming that, you know, the COVID situation releases itself. So,
Well,
but I'll be back and forth.
That's a good thing. I had something else, but oh yeah, Stan. I watched that two Saturdays in a row. Now, these old fogies who don't like it, turn off your TV. There's a
that is all.
Remote control, turn it off. But that's it. Peter, I never danced so much in a year like I danced on Saturday night. I know how to do the 6:30 now. I must be the oldest woman in Barbados that can actually do the 6:30, and I can go down. I can go far down and come right up.
You can get back up?
Of course, you know what my body looks like. But I think these old fogies are jealous of the young girls that the movementations they can't do because they never exercise. They don't know how to do the 6:30. They don't. So they need to go out there in their backyards, start some gardening, do some exercises, get down on those knees, and before you know it, they'll know how to do the 6:30.
Get limber.
I remember, we're a bunch of hypocrites, Peter. Before you're old enough to be my son. But before, in my day, honey, when I was like 16, 17 years old, they had the dog. That was the latest dance. Do the dog. Well, honey, that was more whatless than anything I see these young and restless children doing. The dog was the dog. And all these old fogies, if they had kept up their exercises, they wouldn't be jealous of all these young people that can move every part of their bodies. You have a good day.
All right. No problem. Take care, Miss Pete. Good to hear from you and all the best. I hope to see you soon. And the other thing I was hearing today is that it seems as though we're going to have some roadworks in the area, which is also good news. So that's something else to look forward to. Thanks a lot for calling, Miss Pete. Always good to hear from you. Down to brass tacks, we have about 15 minutes remaining on the program, so we hope we can get a few calls in. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, Peter, glad to hear you. You had so many intervening things today that it would distract me from the point I wanted to make. But I don't know if I could just pinch at them a little bit short and then get to my main point dealing with road traffic.
Sure, all right.
That is the one, is that prior to the elections, you spoke a lot about Mr. Lowe. You will recall that. And he incensed you. And during election time and also after, and even up to today, you did. I'm just saying that I don't hear anybody call out and say to you or callers, I heard that before, because generally it's the same point. And they don't criticize you for making the same point, nor callers for making the same point. But they'll criticize me for calling Cynthia Bradshaw. The issues, the people got with the CXC, I ain't getting in it no more because it didn't affect me really. The other point I want to make, though, is to deal with Patrick. Patrick made a point this morning that he was responding to a point made by Verla de Pisa that it should relieve some of the ministers. And he's saying if you did that, you would create unemployment. But to the contrary, because I think his analysis is pretty poor. If you look at six ministers that are employed at, say, approximately $20,000 a month for a year, they would make... But I'm looking at that, too, because he is saying, this is saying, relieve ministers that are not working. So you can save as much... No, the point he's making is that you would create unemployment. So I'm showing that it wouldn't necessarily create unemployment, because six ministers alone, if you're modest, would provide for you $1,440,000 a year, which can create, if you were employing people with that money at $250 a week, it would create 5,760 jobs. Now, six people going into unemployment cannot register on the unemployment index, but the 5,760 that get employed at a lower wage could register. Now, to my point, Peter, yesterday, right? I went to Emerald City because during the curfew period, I was going at Emerald City because sometimes if you're lucky, you can get in the supermarket without joining the line. But I figured that since the place was open up, there wouldn't be no line on Monday. So I said, I'll take my little stroll up there. I drove up there. And I tell you, it was the most packed day I ever see in the car park. It was rammed. There was absolutely no way to park. And people were parked all along the sidewalks and the bays and all of that. So you couldn't get in there. So I drove into the into the yard, and when I realized that I couldn't get in there without going in a line, I decided to continue straight up to the main road, which would end you up like nearby Princess Margaret School. Mm-hmm. But when I got there, no, there's a whole line in front of me. And mm-hmm. there's a bit of confusion because we're being delayed. The car that is directly in front of me in the road decided to pass out the car that is in front of him because there are three cars trying to get into Shafak. And as he tries to do that, the man that he's passing out got vexed and tried to come out on him too. And then all of them get paused because the people that come in the opposite direction drop up on board all of them and block and jam the whole place. So what I decided to do, see if I could get an ease and turn around and go up, like again the King George. But they turn in by Shop Smart. And as they go into Shop Smart to come back out, I realized that cars were coming out to the line and wanted to turn in by Shop Smart to see if they can go back up the road because they don't want to stay in the line. But I tried to get back in the line and nobody would let me back into the line. You know, for coming out to the line, I got punished. So I could have stayed down there. So I lingered and eventually got back into the line, and it took me a long time to get back to the chauffeur entrance. And then I was able to go my way. But all of that is a lot of inconvenience. I say that because mm-hmm. on Sunday, I don't know if you listen to the calling program on Sunday. On Sunday, Junior Jordan was on, among other people mm-hmm. dealing with traffic. And Junior Jordan is a traffic man who gives advice during the week on CBC. And I asked him, why is he ignoring my call to make a plea to drivers not to block the entrances of fast food places in Barbados so that we can drive freely? His response, he gave me three responses. One, he said he is not a policeman and it is the purview of the police to regulate road usage. But this is the same gentleman that is telling you don't break stop lights. He is not a policeman. And yet, so he is telling me don't break stop lights. He is not a policeman, and he's telling these other men don't rock the cradle, don't drag and block the traffic, and all of that. So there's a little bit of double standard and contradiction there as far as I'm concerned. The other bit of advice he gave to the public, people should stay home and learn to cook, and then the road got less traffic on it. Really. The other one was that he said, you know the routes that got restaurants? Find other roads. So I got to drive all around Barbados to escape restaurants where it is a simple matter of saying to the traffickers, do not block entrances. If you come to Shafak or to Kentucky and the driveway is full, what is wrong with driving past and allowing people to the traffic to flow and come back when it is vacant? Because one man to get into Shafak should not block 100 people. This is real unreasonable, right? Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you ever see a fish vendor down in St. James, down to the bottom of Holders Hill. I usually pass there sometimes, especially on the weekend, and you would see a long line of people. And sometimes people are tempted to stop on the road to purchase the fish. Police reports you right there on that spot for blocking traffic. If you go by Granny to buy bread, and I've seen this myself, if you go by Granny to buy bread there at the mouth of the entrance to Granny in Oystens, the bread vendors always tell you, don't stop and purchase the bread, go and park in the parking lot and come back because the police reports you for there. But then, they report you for there, but then when you come out and swing down to Kentucky and you block the traffic, the police not reporting you. So it seems to me now, my analysis, once you are small and poor in business, the police are after you. But when you're in the big business, police don't want to touch you. I don't hear Seba Johnson on this. He's giving road advice every morning. But yet still, what would it take for the police to say, do not block the entrance? If you get there, keep moving. Peter, tell me why the police cannot say that. Why Junior Jordan?
Sir, I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that stopping to buy something from a vendor is different to going to a drive-thru. The backup you're seeing on the road coming from the drive-thru is as a result of the fact that the drive-thru window is blocked. But that's considerably way off the road. So I think the two things are not comparable. But I don't want to engage you on the issue any further because we don't have a lot of time. So I just let you make your point. You wanted to say something else?
Okay, I was just saying that the blockers was not at the end. All right, okay.
Thanks a lot for calling, sir. It's now, what, 8 minutes more to remaining on the program. It's 1:52. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, sorry, you, sir.
No, I'm okay. You want to tell me, right, that the government that put sewage and garbage on poor people water bills, right, raise the bus fare. And you want to tell me that them there still so popular? Huh? So what's wrong with the man saying that the Dems going to win 6 seats? What's wrong with that? You don't understand that people in Barbados are suffering, though. You don't understand that.
So you believe that they will lose the government altogether?
I ain't talking about losing, but I don't care if they lose or not.
Okay. But you feel they deserve to lose 6 seats?
They deserve to lose all, because they're doing that for poor people. Huh? People that are working for two. A man who said that the government should create jobs, 5,000 jobs to pay people $250. There is people that ain't catching a bus, of course. Because if you catch a bus and you run for $250 and you gonna catch two buses, what gonna happen with you? What are you gonna be working for? So you want to tell me that things better now on this government than on the last government? Huh? The government take the people VAT money. And tell the big businesses keep the money. Huh? And all kind of foolishness, and that's the government up. People that want Barbados to be a one party state, though. And people make a mistake. People made a mistake. And people gonna correct it.
You're convinced that people made a mistake in the election?
Here we tell you, people in Barbados made a mistake.
Very dumb.
Huh?
All right.
The government criticized the last government for having 17 ministers. How many them got now 26? So Beijing's foolish. You know? Beijing can't see
that. All right.
Lied to.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, sir? Just that. Okay. No problem. Thank you for calling and for expressing your view on the situation. Of course, we all have different views on what we think will happen, and that's fine. That's what your view is. My colleague, Corey Lane, who shares the spot with me, has advised that tomorrow he is having, as a guest, the chief agricultural officer on tomorrow. This will be the first female chief agricultural officer. She will be on tomorrow with Corey, and she'll be talking about monkey control initiatives that our government has to deal with the monkeys. Many of you are concerned about the monkey situation, the monkey business, and she will be able to answer your questions tomorrow. So tomorrow, 10 o'clock, down to Brass Tacks, 10 until 2, Corey will be joined by the chief agricultural officer, who will discuss the monkey issue. So don't you miss it. This guy is saying, the gentleman just now forgot to mention the buses, right? Of course, the buses are something new. I wasn't worrying too much about the guy just now. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon and welcome. You're on Down to Brass Tacks. I wait for that call. I have a couple of email WhatsApp messages here about the situation with the drive-thrus and the amount of confusion and chaos that they created yesterday. It seemed as though Barbadians decided to use the first day back out to conduct normal business to go fast food shopping. So as a result, a number of the drive-thrus were chaotic. And apparently the 106 Crossroads, I'm just told by Greets that it was one of the worst. And clearly something needs to be done about the management of the drive-thrus, the fast food, and the regulation of the traffic there. My suggestion would be that people start home and cook. But, you know, that's just me. Just saying. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon, Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Not bad, sir. Mm-hmm. That guy that no call on your program, he...
You got to turn on the radio, ma'am. Turn on the radio, because we can't hear you.
I turn it off. He no call.
Okay.
He no call us Barbadians idiots. Well, I want him to know that he's a bigger idiot, because me, I have done a lot for this country so far, and if the Democratic was in power...
We will see. The election is going to still be some time away, and I guess at that point, all of the theories as to who will win or lose will be tested. So, you know, I just let him say his say, as you say, I'm letting you say your piece. Thanks a lot for calling, man. Okay, down to brass tacks. Okay, we are out of calls, and yeah, we're out of calls, we're out of time. Mr. Johnston, I want to thank you so much for your guidance and support during the course of this program. We had a hectic one today, and it was good to have been able to chat with you. I really enjoyed being back with you on Tuesdays, and I'm looking forward to next Tuesday so we can continue the conversation and hopefully many Tuesdays thereafter. So special thanks to all of you who called and made the program. Was, of course, this format relies heavily on your participation. We had really good participation today. Tomorrow, you have Corey, Chief Agricultural Officer. And I'm hoping that you will continue to give some thought to what's going on at the Caribbean Examinations Council and our children, our nation's youth. My name is Peter Wickham, and see you next week on Down to Brass Tacks. Until then, do take care.